You tuned in to WCUW 91.3 FM, Worcester Community Radio, serving Central Massachusetts and worldwide at WCUW.org.
Vegan Nation is sponsored in part by St. Croix Beach Massage, advocating social justice for all living creatures. Massage on the beach, at your rental villa, or at the historic Club Comanche Hotel St. Croix, because your tropical vacation should be filled with relaxation. Online at massagestcroix.com.
Welcome to Vegan Nation. I'm your host, Marlene. Vegan Nation is an informational program about living the vegan lifestyle, featuring interviews with individuals and organizations who are practicing a healthy vegan lifestyle. Today we are celebrating Zusa Chavez's birthday with a very special program with Genesis Butler and Janelle Palacio Butler, the great-niece and great-great-niece of Zusa Chavez. Janelle and Genesis are joining us via Skype in Long Beach, California, where they are vegan activists. Genesis is now 10 years old. I'm very honored that Janelle and Genesis are joining us for part one today and part two next week on Vegan Nation. Welcome, Genesis and Janelle. Thank you for joining us on Vegan Nation.
Thank you. Thank you for having us.
Yes, thank you for having us.
I would love to hear how your journey started.
How my journey started? Well, I was just a little girl, and I was sitting at the dinner table, and I started to wonder about where my chicken nuggets came from. And then I asked my mom where my chicken nuggets came from, and she said that we killed animals for it. And I was devastated. I told her I never wanted to eat animals ever again. And we stopped eating meat. And then a year later, I walked into my mom's bedroom and I saw her nursing my little sister Zion. And I asked her where my milk came from. And then she told me how we got it from mama cows. And then I said that's like someone taking your milk just to give it to humans. And she said that she's never thought of it that way. And I knew I had to stop drinking and eating dairy products. So now my whole family has been vegan. It's been 4 years now.
Congratulations. That's wonderful.
Yeah.
And Janelle, how was that experience for you?
It was kind of shocking, to say the least, because when she asked me when she was, you know, she hadn't even turned four yet. She was almost four. And I didn't even know she understood the concept of death yet, because I hadn't talked to her about it. And I think, you know, she's just such an old soul that she felt it. She knew, you know, that it wasn't right to eat animals and to kill them and make them her food. And I told my husband, you know, when she first said she didn't want to eat animals, we both kind of just brushed it off and said, well, you know, she's a little girl. She probably will get over it. We were being selfish, you know, because we were thinking about how hard it would be for us and not really her. And she just kept pushing it and telling us, you know, hey, I don't want to eat animals. So I told my husband, you know what, she's serious about this. Let's support her and not eat animals. And he was cool with it too. He said, okay, well, if you think this is good and it's going to work and you feel that we'll be okay, then we'll do it. And I said, yeah, I did some research and I found out that we can live without eating animals, because I thought we needed animals to survive. I was like most of society who thinks we need animal products. And when I found out we didn't, it was kind of a no-brainer. I said, you know what? Well, we don't need it. And most of the food that contains animal products or even the meat is not good for us. So why keep getting organic food and non-GMOs and, you know, no artificial ingredients and taking out all that if we're still eating something that's very destructive to our health and the planet?
Beautiful. And I thought the same thing when Genesis mentioned that at 3 years old, an old soul.
Oh. Yeah, she's. I've always gotten that feeling from her that she is an old soul, that even at that age, for her to understand and have empathy for the animals, it's something that was beautiful, you know. And I kind of dismissed it, and then I really thought about it and did some research, and that's when it hit me, like, wow, she really is onto something. Like, I can learn from her as much as, you know, she can learn from me. I was learning from her. My husband, he was on board, and, you know, we're both minorities. He's African American and I'm Mexican and Native American, and, you know, our whole culture, we're surrounded by meat all the time, breakfast, lunch, and dinner. But we realized that just because we felt like we needed it, we really didn't. It was just our taste buds telling us we needed it.
And Genesis, thank you for your presence on Earth.
Thank you.
And Janelle, for you and your husband and your family to be supportive and climb on board and now look at this, being the leaders of the vegan evolution revolution, which is bringing in, ushering in the age of peace on Earth.
Yes, thank you so much.
And she told me when she was 3 years old that she chose me to be her mother for a reason. And I was like, why? And she said, because you're going to help me do what I need to do. And, you know, this is right when she started questioning animals.
Wow.
And I was like, what are you talking about? You know, and she's like, I don't know, Mom. I don't know. I'm here for a reason. I don't know. And so she would just tell me, like, all the time, Mom, do you know my people sent us here? And I'm like, our people? So I'm assuming she was talking about Native Americans because I'm Apache.
Uh-huh.
She's like, yeah, Mom, our people. Because she didn't know the word ancestor. She's like, yeah, our people told me to come back here. They sent me back. And so when she finally went vegan, you know, she brought it up again. She's like, Mom, do you remember when I said I was here for a reason? I said, yeah, what was it? You know, she's like, I know what it is. She's like, I'm here to help the animals. And when I help the animals, I'm going to help the humans. Because once the animals are wiped off this earth, we're gone next. There's no turning back. We're going to be gone right after them. So that's why, to her, that's why I'm so supportive. Because, you know, although she did it for compassion, like, she sees the bigger picture. She understands that our lives are on the line, you know, not just the animals, but humans as well. So I think that's what keeps her going. Like, she seriously, like, she knows, you know, that this is true. And so she's like, and I'm like, geez, kid, way to put the pressure on me, you know. You know, so that's why when there are obstacles, like people trying to stop her, people say, hey, well, maybe she should take this approach, or maybe she should do that. And I say, look, I know she's only a child, but she knows what she's doing. She's, you know, she's an old soul. She's been here before, you know. She knows what she came here to do and what she has to do. So,
wow.
Yeah.
I got the shivers up my back, in my spine, and my neck, into my head when you were telling that story. And then how did all the animal rights activism begin?
When I first went vegan, I wasn't an animal rights activist. But then I found out about protests, because at first I didn't really know what protests were until I looked on the computer, and it was saying protests against a lot of zoos and stuff, and I was wondering what those were. So I finally told my mom, hey, I'm really curious about what these are, so I want to try one of them, because I heard a lot of vegans go to them. So I told my mom, and when I told her, she was like, okay, sure. So we went to our first protest. It was a circus protest, and I loved it, and so did my mom, because we were, like, holding signs and doing chants, and we were doing leaflets, and I just thought that it would be something good to do, because I know a lot of friends that were activists and how they stick up for the animals, and I just thought that was really cool, and I loved it.
That's great. And I also like that in one of your events recently, you were asked, who's your hero? And you said your mom, because she drives you to all the protests, and when you have your own license, you're going to be going to protest every day.
Oh, yes, I will.
That's great.
We protest zoos and circuses because animals, they can't say anything. They don't volunteer to be in the circuses or zoos. So when they abuse them, I just think that that's really bad and horrible, because it's like if you were to be put in that place and you were in cages in the hot sun, and if you had people ride on you and everything like that, and the circuses and zoos, vegans usually don't think that it's okay. And I just feel very passionate about it, and I think that people just don't listen, and some people don't know that animals in the circuses are abused, and how, just like my mom, for example, she used to take me to the zoos and the circuses, and one time, this is how we stopped going to the zoo, my mom planned this whole trip, and we went to San Diego to go to the zoo, and we planned this whole big trip, and we got a hotel and everything like that, and then we went to the zoo, and I said, why'd you take me to prison? And my mom told me, she said, this isn't prison, what are you talking about? I said, no, yeah, this is. Look at the animals. They look miserable. And we saw people eating their meat with their big turkey legs, staring at all the animals, and they had their heads down. And the animals were just very miserable. So she planned that whole trip, and we went, like, to, like, this playground or something that was really close there. And at the zoo, we went there, and then we left right away because I hated it.
Oh, thank you for bringing that awareness and, again, the compassion. And like you said, it's the golden rule. And so then it's very easy to be vegan because it's practicing the golden rule.
Yeah, and I never thought about the zoo or SeaWorld in that light because, you know, it's kind of one of those things where I understand when parents say, hey, it's a tradition, but traditions are meant to be broken, especially when they're traditions that we know better now. And I tell parents all the time, we can shut down places that abuse animals in a heartbeat. Even when we'd protest the circus, you know, I'm an educator and I'd walk up to the teachers and tell them, we're trying to teach our children to create a more compassionate world, and this is never going to happen if we bring them to places that abuse other living beings, because they're going to think it's okay. And every single teacher I talked to this past summer, which luckily I'm not going to have to talk to them anymore because Ringling Brothers is gone, but they all agreed. They all thought about it and were really sad to even know that they're taking their children, you know, their students to somewhere that abuses animals. Once, you know, Genesis would show them the pictures and I show them the images and they look at the posters, and we offered alternatives and told them there's farm sanctuaries and animal sanctuaries nearby and whale watching. We give them a lot of options where they can see either rescued animals or animals in their natural habitat, and they're very receptive to that.
That's great to hear, Janelle. And I agree with you, too, that this is the vegan evolution revolution. It's just the beginning of it. And, like, the traditions can change. And so it's not blaming or shaming anyone. It's just saying, hey, we have alternatives. We can be compassionate, be fair. And it's just the time now to do so. Yet it takes leaders like you and Genesis.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Yes, and Genesis inspires me to be more of a leader and really help the animals, because even though we come from a background of activists, you know, famous activists like Cesar Chavez, which is my great uncle and her great great uncle, I didn't realize how much power I had until she started saying she wanted to become an activist. And I thought, wow, you know, our voice is really powerful. Her, especially because she's a child, a lot of people listen to her. And for me, I talk to a lot of parents on a daily basis and they listen, you know, they understand and they talk to Genesis. And between the two of us, we're kind of like a tag team. So we try not to overwhelm them, but we do just enough to make them think about their choices.
We're listening to Janelle Palacio Butler. Janelle and her daughter Genesis are joining us via Skype in Long Beach, California. Through the influence of Genesis, their entire family is a vegan family and very powerful activists. This is Vegan Nation. I'm your host, Marlene Narrow. After this short break, we'll continue our conversation with Janelle and Genesis.
하나, 둘, 셋.
안녕하세요, 여러분. This is Emmy from the Daebak K-pop show, and I'm inviting you to come join me and some of your favorite K-pop idols every Sunday from 4 p.m. to 6 p.m. for all the latest in K-pop, giveaways every single month, and maybe, just maybe, your favorite song might play. And remember, if it looks good, if it feels good, if it smells good, and most of all, if it sounds good, then it's K-pop. 안녕! See you Sunday. Hi, this is
the Boys and Girls Club of Worcester.
You're listening to WCU
91.3 FM.
Worcester!
Welcome back to Vegan Nation, broadcasting out of Worcester, Massachusetts, WCUW 91.3 FM. I'm your host, Molly Narrow, and we are joined by Genesis Butler and her mom, Janelle Palacio Butler, vegan activists in California. Janelle and Genesis are joining us via Skype in Long Beach, California. Beautiful. You two are the best team.
Thank you.
Yeah, so much so. Thank you. And Genesis, I really liked one of the things that you wrote, and I'm going to read this. I hope I can show girls of all ages that you can do anything you set your mind to. I want girls to know that we can make a difference for all species.
Mm-hmm.
So thank you for writing that and saying that. And I know that you are helping all girls to become compassionate and to become vegan. And can you tell me about the Real Life Powerpuff Girl?
The Real Life Powerpuff girls. So I filmed for it at a farm. It's called New Life Sanctuary. And she has rats, she has pigs, she has a llama. She had a lot of animals, and I love them so much. I've always wanted a pet llama. My mom said that we can only donate to sanctuaries because she would not like a llama in her house. But we filmed there, and I talked about, like, my goal was to get girls to go vegan and to also empower them and make them feel like they do have a voice, because some girls want to do a lot of things, but they think that they don't have a voice. And everybody has a voice that should be used, and that they need, if they have something that they think should be stick up for, they should just follow their dreams and do it, because being an activist and being a public speaker and veganism was one of my dreams, and I accomplished it because I put my mind to it. And I believe anyone can follow their dreams if they put their heart to it.
That's right. Thank you, Genesis.
You're welcome.
And what about, tell her about the girls that came up to you after.
And then there was, like, girls that came up to me after. I spoke because I went to the Hulu studios, and I spoke about my real-life Powerpuff Girls. And then after I talked about veganism, there was two girls that came up to me, and they asked me, how did you get your family to go vegan? And I told them my story, and they said, well, my parents would never want to do that. But they said, I've just never tried to ask them because they'd probably think that I was just playing around. And I said, maybe if you just ask them, they'll say yes. And they said, okay, I'll think about it. But I think it was because they think that their parents probably won't listen to them. But, like, for me, I was just a little girl, so I just asked them. And I wasn't expecting it to be from killing animals. I wasn't expecting any of that. I was just asking to just see where my food came from. I was expecting my mom to tell me we killed animals for it. I was expecting it to be, like, something else except animals. But then when she told me that it was animals, I said I never, ever wanted to eat meat ever again.
That's great. And I'm also excited to hear about your upcoming movie, your documentary.
The Cesar Chavez documentary?
Yes.
Yeah, I went to Bakersfield, and we filmed for that, and I was in his room where he actually fasted, and I was really emotional because I knew that how he was so passionate about what he really felt, and he's, like, very, like, inspirational to me, and because I knew how he felt, and because since he was so passionate about it, how he fasted for it, and I just thought that since he was so passionate, that really inspired me. And we saw the fields where he picked his fruits and where he picked the grapes and the fruits and everything like that. And we saw his graveyard, and we saw his graveyard and his wife's graveyard that just recently passed away. And we found out that his two dogs, Boycott and Wevel?
Huelga,
were buried right by his feet.
Oh, that's nice.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, they're tombstones. It's at the Cesar Chavez National Monument. We got to go there, and Genesis got to meet Cesar Chavez's son, who's running his organization now. And it was very empowering to hear him speak and tell us his stories firsthand of, you know, his father growing up with his father as an activist. And he gave Genesis some support and words of encouragement. I told him one time how Genesis and I went to a grocery store to go protest the sale of rabbit meat. And the worker came outside, the manager, and said he was going to arrest us. And that's the first time I ever saw Genesis get scared. And she looked at me and said, I don't want to go to jail, Mom. I said, look, you're on public property. I'm never going to do anything to put you in danger. You know, when you're 18, when you're an adult, you can make your decisions, but I don't think it'll look good if you end up in jail under my watch. So I told her, don't worry. And we had
just seen the Cesar Chavez film, the movie about his life, a few days before that. So I use that as an example. I said, do you remember when they tried to run Cesar Chavez and, you know, all the protesters out, and he stood his ground and said, no, I know my rights? And she said, yeah. I said, that's all intimidation, because they know we're telling the truth and they don't want us to tell the truth. And, you know, we're going to hurt their business and their profits, and it's too bad. That's going to happen because we're not going to stand by, and you don't want them to just sell the rabbit meat. She was telling everybody, hey, rabbits don't belong on your plate, and no animal belongs on your plate for that matter. And so she calmed down. She's like, okay, cool, you know, then I'm okay with that. So now whenever anything like that happens again, I remind her, and I told my cousin about that story, and he said, yeah, that, you know, that was the main thing. The main advice he gives to any activist is to not have fear. Do not be afraid. And I think that is the best advice anyone could give an activist, even Genesis as a child, is just don't be afraid, because as long as you're standing on the side of justice, you know, you can never go wrong. And so I thanked him profusely for giving her that kind of advice, because, you know, that is important to know, not to be afraid.
That's great news. Very important. And what a great inspiration to have Cesar Chavez, your great uncle, great great uncle, for your inspiration and your power.
Yes, he's one of my heroes.
And that's what it's all about, justice.
Yes. Yes. Exactly. That documentary, she's still working on it. I believe there's going to be an upcoming interview she's going to do with Dolores Huerta, where she's going to learn firsthand from a woman who was on the front lines with Cesar Chavez, his right-hand woman, not right-hand man, right-hand woman, who helped lead the way. So I can't wait for her to have that experience, just to talk to somebody who was so powerful as well, and hear from a woman, you know, who's been an activist their entire life. So they should be filming the rest of it the next upcoming month or so, and it's probably gonna come out on a television station. I think it's PBS, but it's mainly gonna be for schools. They're gonna send it to schools across the country for the teachers to show the children, because in textbooks we learn one or two sentences about Chavez. You really don't learn much about him. And so this is gonna be a way for children to really learn that he wasn't only activists for farm workers, but also for the LGBTQ community and feminism. He was a really big supporter of feminism, as well as animal rights, because he was vegan towards the end of his life.
Yes, and I think that's very significant. And I've noticed that the things that I have seen and I have read, they always leave that part out.
They do. It's very unfortunate. I didn't even learn about that until I went vegan. And, you know, I saw somebody post on Facebook, famous vegans, and I was like, hey, wait, that's my uncle. I told Genesis, guess what? He was vegan too. And we both couldn't believe it. We were so excited, because she was excited just to know that, like, Rosa Parks had stopped eating animals, and, you know, Martin Luther King's family had stopped eating animals. So when she found out somebody, you know, her own relative, especially someone as influential as him, she was really excited about it. And so was I. And our cousin also told us that he demanded that no animal products be served at any organization, any meeting he had for the protesters and stuff. And he told them that he did not want animal products. So all the people who were part of the movement ate vegan food.
Great. Yeah, that's very significant. We're listening to Janelle Palacio Butler, the great niece of Cesar Chavez. We're also joined by Genesis Butler, the great-great-niece of Cesar Chavez. Genesis and Janelle are a mother-daughter vegan activist team. They are joining us via Skype in Long Beach, California. Please join us again next week for part two of the interview with Genesis and Janelle. In celebration of the noble, powerful work of Cesar Chavez, we're going to go out with a beautiful song by Daniel Redwood. Adelante.
Adelante, ooh, adelante, adelante.
Which means moving forward, moving onward. Daniel Redwood was a friend of Cesar Chavez and also a volunteer with United Farm Workers Union. Daniel also appears in the upcoming documentary alongside Janelle Genesis and family. I'd like to thank all our listeners for tuning in to Vegan Nation. Please join us again next week for part two with Janelle and Genesis. Here's Adelante.
He was one, one in a million. I was blessed to stand at his side and to listen to the words he spoke in Spanish and in English. I remember the depth and strength I saw in Caesar's eyes. On a 36-day fast for the rights of all farm workers, he was nourished by the spirit of Gandhi and Thoreau. And the Reverend Dr. King and countless men and women and children whose names we'll never know. And he understood the power of redemption that echoes through the canyons of all we've left behind. It calls across the years of sacrifice and resurrection, points in one direction. Adelante, we will seek and we will find. Hermanos y hermanas, cantemos de colores y florecen los campos en eterna primavera. Y el arco iris cruce a una tierra de paz, donde las manos de los pobres se llenarán con uvas. My brothers and my sisters, let us sing of all the colors that blossom in the fields of an everlasting springtime. And the rainbow crosses over to a land of peace and plenty, where the hands that once were empty hold grapes up to the sun. Caesar was a great American, California's finest citizen, a Mexican American, our brother and our friend. As we celebrate his memory with hearts now overflowing, let us recommit our lives in sacred honor once again. Till we understand the power of redemption that echoes through the canyons of the ways we've left behind, and calls across the years of sacrifice and resurrection, points in one direction. Adelante, we will seek and we will find. Adelante, ooh, adelante, adelante.
Join us again next week at the same time to hear more news on living a vegan lifestyle. You can listen to this program again at wcuw.org/vegannation. Theme music provided by Joseph Peck. This is Marlene Narrow wishing you a good day.
Vegan Nation is sponsored in part by St. Croix Beach Massage, advocating social justice for all living creatures. massage on the beach, at your rental villa, or at the historic Club Comanche Hotel St. Croix, because your tropical vacation should be filled with relaxation. Online at massagestcroix.com.
Thanks again for tuning in to Vegan Nation.